All right, everyone, let's get started with the next session. I hope you had a great first day here at Build. And thanks for staying all the way through to 7 p.m. to hear us talk. This is a story about chatbots for the win and how us from Microsoft, I'm Thiago Almeida from DX here at Microsoft in Redmond. And I have John here from Cherwell Software. And we got together to discuss implementing a bot for their solution. Cherwell themselves, they're one of the most famous and biggest software management solutions out there. And we wanted to talk about creating a bot to help with the support specifically. And this is an idea for bots that we see coming up often and quite a lot for you to create bots to help with support, create the first level of support before it gets to humans. And the bot that we decided to build ended up being quite intelligent in that it reaches out to multiple sources of data to get information that might help the customer before then letting the customer create a ticket. So, just to cover a very high level architecture of the solution, we have enabled it in four different channels. We have Slack, Microsoft Teams, Skype, and then the web chat. And now we're looking at the new ones that they announced today, like Cortana Skills or also Skype for Business, which would be pretty handy. And we host the Microsoft Bot Framework on a web app on Azure. We use some blob storage for some lookup data as well. And then on the Cherwell side, they have a REST API that we could use to talk to their application server. So that's the link between our bot and the Cherwell solution is the REST API that they provide. The first thing that we had to decide is Cherwell software can be deployed and installed on their customer's environment as well as being hosted by Cherwell, so you can choose. And we had to decide, are we going to make it a single-tenanted solution and then the bot just decides who it's talking to and gets information, or are we just going to package it up and get each customer to install the bot again on their solution? So for now, we decided to go with single-tenanted, and it seems to be working well. We just do, you know, the Cherwell bot itself does the mapping. So once you log in with Microsoft Teams, for example, it knows that you're in this specific Office 365, and this is your login. So it knows which Cherwell instance you're talking to as well through that mapping. And if we dive a little bit more into the solution, we basically, if you've been hearing about the bot framework, you know it's a series of dialogue stacks. So each dialogue takes care of some specific thing, and then it creates another stack and adds dialogues to it. And in our case, at the moment, we have two main dialogues. We have three main dialogues. The root dialogue, that's the one that ferries the information to one side or another. And then we have one to manage existing tickets that they've raised with support, or go and search if you haven't raised a ticket already, you can go and search for a specific problem, like I can't print or my email isn't working, and it'll both get details from system alerts, other problem lists from the forums, knowledge base articles, and then we also loaded the Microsoft Q&A bot service with a lot of data from Cherwell support as well. So those are the ones we have now. And another cool thing that we have is as soon as the user first uses the bot, it registers using the register notification there, so that whenever there's an update on a ticket, it will be able to notify the user that something happened with that ticket as well. So it's a looping in the background that will get the notification from the Cherwell API and get the notification back into the bot for that user as well. So that's what we've built so far. There's quite a lot more that we want to build, but I'll stop talking now and let John cover the actual code for you guys to see what it looks like. And he put his, thank you, John, he put a copy of the bot there as well. So if you want to look at the code later on with more details, you can watch the session again, go through the stuff that John is talking about, and then look at the code on GitHub as well. All right, with that, cool. Take it away, John.
Great. Thank you, Thiago. So let me switch this over here. Whoop. Okay. So as you saw the code up there, the main purpose is not a full-featured app or bot to replace what we have today, but the goal is to give a sense of what we could accomplish with our solution. Sharewell Software, we do service management. So one of the things we wanted to do here was show that instead of having to open up the web page or the rich client, something to get help, we wanted to bring our services to where a user is already in there. They might be in a chat client on their desktop, they might be on their phone, but enabling our features in where the user is already at is a very powerful message we want to bring to our users. So my talk is all going to be demo and code, so we'll jump right in. So here's Microsoft Teams. You can see I've already signed in. One problem with Teams is it keeps a history, so I just scrolled it off the top, which is why you see all that. Let me zoom in. Here. So this is the welcome message. And as you remember, Tiago said, the very first thing that happens is we actually go back and register the user. So let's look at that really quick. And what we do, sorry guys, I'm going to jump back and forth here. We go, the very first thing that happens when the user signs in, Microsoft Teams, we already know who the user is. It's part of the security context of the domain. So we register the user as well as a channel here back into an Azure storage table. And the reason we do that is for the notification purposes. We'll talk about later, but I wanted to point this out. So we, at this point, we know the user, we know their channel, and we actually have the context. We have a lot of information about the conversation they're going to be having about the bot. So this is important information. The next thing, anybody who's used the bot framework, if you haven't, you know it's all about dialogues and managing the conversation of the dialogues. One of the things very important is we found very quickly you'll get into a you'll be chatting with the bot and all of a sudden you won't know where you're at, or the user will type something the bot doesn't know. So we made a point of, can everybody see that? Maybe bump it up just a little bit bigger. Always to have a fallback. So if the user types something the bot doesn't understand, we prompt the user back. Here's the valid things you can do. Here are the tickets that you have that you're working on. Those types of things. So this is an important part of the bot. So back at the bot, we're going to pretend we're a user. Let me zoom in here again. We're going to pretend we're a user that's having problems with their email. So they, instead of having to call IT and say, hey, come and help me, now they can just open the bot, pretend they're on their mobile client here and say, you know, I'm having a problem. So we'll click on have problem. The bot's going to come back and say, oh, what can I help you with? So we're just type email. And this is another really powerful part of the bot. Which normally, if you're on our web page, might require a couple different searches or setting up a different filter criteria, whatever. So the bot went out and did a bunch of different searches to try to find information for the user. The very first one is actually Microsoft Q&A Maker, which we took and pointed at our help page, which was incredibly easy to do, incredibly powerful. So this one is an email search, which isn't useful here, but if it was features of Sharewell they were looking for, it would be really powerful. I'm going to jump over the code really quick here. I'm going to jump back and forth. The one thing I want to talk about here, this is incredibly easy, you can look at this code, is when you use the Q&A Maker, you have to train it to be valid responses to give it a score. In this case, we didn't actually score anything, so we just pulled back any response we showed it. But if you wanted to do that, the code here is here to show, like, to say I want a score that's over 30% or something like that. So that code's right there for you to use. Sorry, I'm not very good at this. So back here, the other thing the bot pulls back is we go through our knowledge base search looking for anything that people might have entered as useful information. Now, me as a user is like, this doesn't fix my current problem where Outlook isn't working, but this is kind of interesting, so I'm going to like this. Give me feedback. And you'll see it's there. And that way I can come back as a user and do that. Now, again, we talk about the conversation flow. The user just did something, but the user is still in this conversation flow, and they can do other things still here. So again, this is important to remember. When you're working with the dialogues of the bot, you remember where they're at and make sure it's consistent for the user. They can do what they need, continue to do what they need to do. Now, you may have noticed we have, these are hero cards that are set up back. One of the interesting problems we had was we now have six hero cards with similar actions performed on them. So how do you reference these buttons, these actions back to the right values. Let me show that here. What we did is, when we're building up, these are the knowledge base cards, is we have a really simple object, .NET object, which we call the list ticket command, and it's just got a couple properties. So action is an integer, and then these three properties represent unique values for getting at any object in ShareWell. With one or multiple of these, you can get to any object uniquely. What we do is, when we build up these knowledge, these cards for the bot, is each command has a unique number. So like is 200, dislike 201. And then we populate those with the ShareWell values to get at that object. And then we serialize this to JSON and it's sent back down to the bot. So that's actually the JSON of that command is in that card. And then when you click it, when you click it, we pull back that value and try to deserialize the value. If the value is able to deserialize as the object we expect, then that allows us to jump to the correct action, this case was 200, and perform the right operation calling in ShareWell to like that command. So after that, the user in this case going, well, nope, my Outlook's not working, so I'm gonna go ahead and create a ticket. So this would just be like sending your IT a ticket. You know, this isn't working. So bot's asking, what should I include in the ticket? So we enter that. The bot's gonna come back and say, okay, I'm gonna create that ticket for you. Let me jump over really quick. And how we implemented this in ShareWell was we disconnected, let me zoom in, is we disconnected the messages from the actual API calls. Everything we do, we could do with an API, but ShareWell can be really customized depending on whatever the customer needs. So what we've done is create a table, basically a message queue. And all the operations come in with a different operation command. And then from there, we have a big a business process that runs in the background. And even bigger here. And performs different options based on that operation. So you, here you can see, not very well. Let me zoom in this way. That we'd go in here, create incident, up here's the like command. And that's how things happen in ShareWell. And if everything's working correctly, we got back a message back into the bot that we created a ticket. Now this is the notification back that we were talking about earlier. One of the other problems we had, not problems, but things that we wanted to solve was, again, you don't want to break the conversation flow that the user's having with the bot. They might be in the middle of something, and you don't want to interrupt that by sending back a notification. So let me show you how we did that, or let me demo something first here. So we're going to come over to Slack. So I'm in Slack here, and I'm going to start entering a comment here, which is something we don't want to interrupt. So at this point, the bot is waiting for me to enter a comment. And I'm going to come over here, and in this case, we want to send, IT wants to send a notification back to the user. Let me zoom that in. So in this case, pretend I'm IT, and I'm trying to tell the user come and do something. So please. New mouse. That's what we all want, new mouse from IT, right? So if I zoom back out, you'll see here Teams has allowed that notification to come through. If we come over to Slack, it's still going to be waiting because we were in the middle of a conversation and we didn't want to interrupt that by sending a notification. So let's talk about how that happened. First part of that is, inside the context, we set a flag, which this is just a simple extension method where we set on the conversation data with that user on their specific channel, I don't want to allow notifications. So this gets set. Now, in the background, as Tiago said, we're running a background work item. And all it's doing is on a certain interval, it's looking for anything new to send back to anybody. So it goes out to ShareWell, looks for anything that has been processed, and when it finds something, it goes in and starts executing this query based on a user. So it says, I have a message for this user. Where are they currently at? From there, it goes and hits the Azure data table based on that username and pulls back all the different channels they're on. So right now, I'm on Slack and I'm on MS Teams. So this is going to return back two rows of data, and we're going to execute on that. Well, this is where we go to that allow notification. So here, we go and check this this background work item. It's not tied to the user. So we go back and check the bot state REST API. And this is one, right now this is not very well documented. So this is another important one. If you want to call the REST API, you have to use this URL. But we go call the state service and say, for this user on this channel, give me back their conversation data. Once we get that back, we go and check the two values. So we say, are they allowing notifications? If they are, great. We send the notification to the user, and everybody's happy. They get their message. If they don't, we actually check the last activity, because this is another part. What if you were sitting there talking to the bot, and you went to lunch? Well, we don't want to block it for these messages forever, so we actually have a delay that we look at. So depending on the time, last activity, we might override the notification delay and send the messages back to the user. And we'll jump out there. So that is about the end of my demo.
All right, so check out the GitHub page there. And of course, we have a few more resources, both from the Cherwell side and also the bot framework side. I'm sure you've seen the bot framework links quite a lot today, but there's another one. And that's pretty much it. Go out and create your own support bot or other types of bot. Check out our sample code if you need some help. And John and I will be here if you have a few questions as well.
Right.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
And again,
please fill out an eval.
Thank you very much.